My name is Gary. I'm an alcoholic. I want to say welcome. Shut up, Eric. I want to welcome the six newcomers that introduced themselves and any other newcomers that didn't. Welcome to a new way of life. My sobriety date is February 14th, 2014, and I'm grateful for that. My home group is Claremont Men's on Thursday night. And I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. And there's five generations in that meeting. We all have the same home group. And we're in there every Thursday night, you know. And that's important to me. You know, this isn't my first time in these rooms. I've been around for like 13, 14 years. And I've seen a lot of the same people, you know, the guys that come before me. And they're always in the same seats, in the same meetings. And I've learned a lot from those men and women. So the first time I drank, I was 14 years old. And me and my buddy, we were at the river. And all the adults were, you know, like on their boats and jet skis. And me and my buddy, we found an abandoned cooler. And I drank like 14, 15 beers in like 3 hours, and he had like two, you know. I blacked out. First time I drank, I blacked out. I don't remember most of the day. I felt like crap the next day, but I wanted to do it again, you know, and that's how I drink. It wasn't that bad, you know. In high school, it wasn't that bad. I could pretty much just do it on the weekends, but I never knew what was going to happen. You know, I had a party at my house, and I'm walking around with a handle of vodka, and I don't, you know, that's all I remember. And I apparently urinated in my closet. I thought it was a urinal, you know. That's the kind of stuff that I do when I drink. Fast forward. I doing the responsible thing and getting a designated driver when I go out. I got a designated driver. They dropped me off at home, and in a blackout, I'd stolen mom's car. You know, I did the responsible thing and got a designated driver, and I still go and steal my mom's car. And I got a ride. I went to my friend's house, and I didn't remember how I got there. But the next morning, I got a ride home to my mom's. And I walk in the door, and my mom's like, "Where's my effing car?" You know. And it was. I remember it was a Sunday morning. She couldn't go to church because she didn't have her car. And I had to call my friend, and I'm like, "Can you go outside and look for my mom's car?" And he starts laughing, you know. And we actually walked right by my mom's car. To his car. We walked right by it. The windows were down. The keys were in the ignition. That's why I didn't know I had my mom's car. And those are things that happen, you know, when I'm doing the responsible thing. You know, I can't drink. I like what... Oh, happy birthday, Andy, Paul, and Bill. I like what you said about sentenced to AA, because I was sentenced to AA. It was a punishment for me. And my first DUI, you know, and I did everything I could to get out of going to AA. I found meetings I could show up late and then leave early. Then I found the meetings where the secretary just signed the slip and I could just take off. And then I got smart, you know, and I bought a date stamp, and I stamped my own slips, and I had my girlfriend initial them. You know, anything I could do to get out of this thing. And, you know, I wish that I would have just surrendered, you know, and done this thing. I never thought it could work, you know. I was on probation at a certain time, and I had a test, and I had to call, and I had to test every night. I would call to see if my color came up, and I had to test and I would do the option of quitting never came to my mind. Like, that wasn't even an option. It was like, what do I have to do so I can do this? And I spent, like, I would spend $60 a week to buy those ready clean drinks so I could, you know, get clean for the tests. And you know, like it never even occurred to me that why don't you just stop? You know, that wasn't even an option. My solution was to drink or use drugs. And, so one time I'm sitting in front of my probation officer and she's like, are you sober? And I'm like, yeah. And she's holding the results to my test. And she's like, well, how come I'm holding a test that says you're dirty for marijuana, methamphetamines, and cocaine? And I didn't have an answer for that, you know. And so she said, you can either do 2 years in prison or go to the Salvation Army. And obviously, I went to the Salvation Army. But I'm so grateful that I did because we used to walk up in groups up to this meeting in South Park at Pathfinders, and that's where I met a lot of the people that are in my support group today. I took the steps then. I wasn't honest. It worked. I stayed sober for about a year, and it worked. My life got better. But then once I was able to get out of, once I didn't have to be in a sober living, I was gone. I didn't want it. I'm going to fast forward and get sober. 16 months ago, a little over 16 months ago, my mom kicked me out. I was homeless, which a friend of mine says homeless is if you're not paying rent and your name's not on the lease, then you're homeless, you know. And I was homeless, and I was staying out all night. I did it two nights in a row. I stayed out all night. I came home when my mom was at work, and then I left before she got home. And that was it. I did it two nights, and she changed the locks. And I have this disease that tells me it's okay to threaten my mom, the only person that's been there for me my whole entire life. I have this disease that says it's okay to call her names. And I did that, you know. And I said this prayer. I was in El Cajon on this concrete slab, and I was trying to sleep, and it was one of the coldest days of the year. And I just said, God, help me. And the obsession was removed. I haven't thought about drinking or using since. I knew what I needed to do, and I started going to meetings. I was going to 3-4 meetings a day. And I got into the Freedom Ranch. And I've been in the program before, and I've taken the steps, and I was helping guys that had never been in the program before. I was taking them through the first three steps until they could, so they could start on their fourth step. And there was a guy that came up there. His name was Robert S. And he spoke, and it changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. He was on fire. You know, like every Wednesday, somebody would drive up in one car, one person, you know, and, you know, tell their story. And he came up with a caravan of people, like 5-6 cars. And, he's a little gangster, you know, kind of, you know, and he's got a weird voice. And at first, when you hear him, you're just like, what the hell, you know, like. But dude, man, he has this fire inside him, you know, and he's happy, and I wanted what he had, you know, and today, you know, well, so I got his number after the meeting, right? I got his number and I got his card and I put in my wallet, and a couple weeks later, I got into an altercation with my roommate, and I ended up getting kicked out of the Freedom Ranch, and I was devastated, dude. I was crying on the way down the hill, you know, and I called my mom, and I was in tears, and I told her I got kicked out, and she's like, I'll call you back. And she called me back. She was at work, and she called me back, and she's like, well, you didn't fuck up, because if you would have, I wouldn't have heard from you for months, you know. I called her, and she said, and she let me come back and live with her. She said, you have to keep going to meetings and look for work, and that's what I did. And This meeting is real important to me because this was the first meeting after I got out of the ranch. I got a commitment, and I had the set up commitment for like 7 months here. But the first week that I had, I didn't call Robert when I got kicked out. I had his number. I didn't call him. And the first week that I had, I got a commitment here. He was the main speaker, and it was like God putting him back in my life, you know. And I came up to him after the meeting, and I was like, I need to get your number. And I put out a card, and I go to write his number, and he goes, fool, that's my card that you're in your hand. I didn't even know it. I had his card in my hand, you know. And, you know, I got tons of God shots and stuff, but, you know, when I'm doing the right thing and helping guys and going to meetings, I go to like 6-7 meetings a week still, you know, I'm active in this, in this program. It's fun, you know, it's fun when you're active. If you're new, go get a commitment. And when you see the people that are doing the commitments in the meetings, stick around, hang out with those people. Those are the winners. You know, just surrender and do this thing. Surrender doesn't mean that you're a loser or you failed. It means you transfer to the winning side. That's what we do. I'm so grateful that I'm so grateful for this, for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the only thing that's ever worked for me. It has absolutely saved my life, and I hope that you guys that are new are desperate enough and remember. I hope that I remember how desperate I was when I first came here, because that's what keeps me coming back. You know, I can't forget that. So thank you very much.